We woke up early so we could get there early. Stones were thrown and shots were fired at a roadblock. But before we get into that, go grab yourself a hot cup of coffee, and then we'll talk about a crazy weekend in Lay. So last Friday morning at 3:30 a.m., my alarm went off. I go around the house, wake everybody up, let them know that it's time to get everything ready, get packed up in the car so we can get on the road and get to Lay. We was out of our house about 4:30. Had a good prayer before we left. Just asked God to encamp His angels around and about us, make sure that we made it to Lay safe without any hiccups. And with it being election time, we was hoping and praying that it would be a good day to travel. And the day before we left, we found out that the deputy prime minister was killed in a car accident in LA, which is where we just so happened to be headed. And we made record-breaking time. We made it from the Western Highlands all the way through there, all the way through Juwaka, all the way through Shimbu, all the way through Goroka, Eastern Highlands, all the way through Ramu, Markham Valley, all the way down to Lay. We get to 12 Mile at Lay, and there's a huge roadblock. Yep, a big one. And at this roadblock, we find out, we after we sat there for probably about an hour and a half, I got out and I began to talk to the police officers that were there trying to help. And I got out and I was talking, trying to find out what was going on. And come to find out, this roadblock had everything to do with the deputy prime minister that was killed in the car wreck. And we get up there, everything is just completely barricaded. They had two big coaster buses that were spread out across the road so nobody could get through. And then on top of that, they had a big barricade of metal and all kinds of trees and all of these things. Just they wanted to make sure that nobody, no matter who they were or who they thought they were, they just was not going to let anybody through. We had a big weekend planned in Lay. I already knew that we had a few things going on. And, we'd already driven for 10 hours and we'd sat there for a couple hours. I mean, we're looking at like 12 hours at this point. Well, as I'm standing there talking to the police officers, a big coaster bus and a couple of, we call them 10-seaters here. They're just Toyota Land Cruisers. They seat 10 people, hence 10-seater. They pull in behind me and They come in pretty fast, so I kind of jump out of the way as I'm talking to this guy. And that guy, after the conversation was finished, I go back to the car, sit down in the car, and I'm in the car for maybe 2 minutes, and then these guys start jumping out of these cars. Well, as they're jumping out, I see that it's military. Papua New Guinea Defense Force showed up, and they were the ones that were in all of these vehicles that had pulled in. And as they were exiting the vehicles, I couldn't help but notice every single one of them was holding a machine gun. Well, I thought maybe they were just there for presence to make sure things didn't get out of control. And we're sitting there, and these guys, they just go up and they start tearing down this roadblock that was built. And as they're tearing it down, they're using the materials that were used to build this roadblock. They're using these materials to beat the people on the other side. And as soon as they started, all you could see, we looked up and it was like rain coming down. And it wasn't rain like water, it was stones, just stone after stone after stone. And they were all coming straight down towards our car. With us being there, I had been able to inch my way up until I was all the way up almost completely to the barricade, because originally this was a barricade that was built and it was going to be taken down as soon as they was finished talking with the governor. That way everyone would be able to get through, and they anticipated that it would be torn down before 3 o'clock. Well, we get there and we're sitting there, and people turn around and go the other way. We wasn't turning around. We'd already been on the road for all this time, and we'd already been sitting there all this time. So I just gradually started to work my way to the front of the crowd. Well, by the time these stones start coming over, all I can see is stones coming at our car. And I've got myself, my wife, both of our kids, both of our kids that live here in Papua New Guinea with us. We have one of our executive board members, his son is with us. So our assistant superintendent, his son, he actually went to lay with us this time. His name is Daniel, and he was on one of my podcasts a while back, the Five Guys podcast, if you guys want to check that out. But as these stones start to come over, we hear a couple of them hit the car, and we was just thank the Lord there's not a dent on the car. All of the glass is intact. Whenever they do this, a lot of times you're going to lose quite a bit of your glass. Windshield's coming out, side windows are coming out. Somebody's going to, in the car is going to get hit with a stone. But thank God he heard our cry. When we prayed that morning, we prayed that God would keep his hand upon us. And like I said, we had a lot of stuff that we was doing organizational wise, church wise, spiritual wise while we were in lay. And this just goes to show you there's always a force against you, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. Sometimes it's both, one leading into another. But come to find out, the place that we were was 12 Mile, which is where this man had died. And the governor was on his way to talk, but they had the roadblock for so long that it gave military time to get there. So when they did get there and these stones started to fly, as soon as the stones started coming, I put the car in drive, done a U-turn, got back, and thankfully, it's just the favor of God. We was able to we had a dump truck, we had two pickup trucks, and we pulled behind the dump truck. Two pickup trucks came in sideways next to us, another one came in next to us, and another one behind us to keep us, that they basically said, hey, no matter what happens, you guys are going to be safe. So, we're in a safe place now to where we're good. And as soon as we started to drive the other way, when these stones started to fly, we also hear three-shot bursts start coming out of these machine guns. So we've probably got 15, 20 military guys standing up here at this roadblock, and they're all shooting towards the crowd, and there's shots fired, there's stones coming, there's all of this stuff happening. And thank God he had his hand upon us, because it could have went any way. I mean, we was in a very vulnerable place, and one, the shots didn't start until we'd already turned around to go the other way. Two, the stones did not damage our vehicle and did not hurt anyone inside. Three, I was actually back inside of the vehicle whenever the stones began to be thrown, because that could have been very bad if I was still standing out there talking to the police officers. Then, the stones that came over all of these buses that would have came right down on Brother Marshall's forehead. So thank God I was back in the car before all of these things happened. And thank God he kept his hand upon us. After quite a few minutes of the shots being fired and the stones and all of the things that had gone on, they actually made a gap, and they made sure that we was one of the first vehicles to go through. We had emergency response in front of our car, and we had another utility vehicle behind our car. And these two vehicles escorted us from that place all the way to our hotel, which was 3 miles away. So, thank you guys. If you ever hear this podcast, I want to say thank you for all of your help. It was wonderful. I thank God that He had His hand upon us. I thank God that He heard our cry. Everybody reacts to things a little differently. We've got all those types in our family. So you've got me, which is kind of the nervous laugher. And the funny thing is, if I get nervous or if I get angry, either one, it's it, it my reaction is to laugh. So if I get anxious, if I get upset, if I get mad, I usually smile, which has always been a bad thing when it comes to disciplining my kids, because I'll go to discipline my kids and I'll have the biggest smile on my face, which I always tell the guys over here, whenever we're having meetings and stuff, it's like, you'll never know whether I'm happy or sad because I'm going to be smiling either way. So whenever I'll smile, they never really know whether it's good or bad. It's usually good, but you never really know. You've also got the one where you've got the person that's just serious, things happen and they go straight into that real serious mode and that straight face, just making sure that it's all business, praying for everybody around. That's my wife. And then you've got my kids, which are the jokesters in the back. Things like this will start happening. They'll start joking about stuff just to kind of break that nervous tension that's going on. So we've got all of these types in the car, and then we've got the silent one, right? We've got Daniel over there, and he's just completely silent, completely quiet, just kind of focused on what's going on all around. And you've got me up there like with a big smile, like, oh Jesus, what are we gonna do? You've got my wife over here like, oh God, I hope that everybody's okay. And then you've got my kids back here cracking jokes, and then Daniel's just like stone faced, just staring off like get me out of here, So we've got all of these different personality types in the car, but we made it to the hotel, and we made it there safe. We made it there without a scratch. And we decided that would be a good day not to do anything. So we stayed in the hotel. Once we got there, that was it. I mean, that's where we were staying for the rest of the day. So, you go through something like that, you're not going to get out of the car. You're not going to go to town. You're not going to do a lot of crazy stuff. You're just going to kind of hang out, make sure everything's all right. So that night we get there, we go have a nice dinner, and we just kind of have a time of relaxation. Like I said, by the time we got through the roadblock and everything, we're looking at like 13 hours, 13 and a half hours on the road in the car anyway. And we was just done. We was ready to kind of get a little rest. The next day, which was Saturday, we was able to get up and hit a few places in town that we've been wanting to go and look at a few things that we was needing at the house. Cool thing is, Ley is actually a port here in in Papua New Guinea. I about said Port Moresby. Ley is a port. Port Moresby is a port. And whenever you go to a port city, you can get things for 25 to 50% cheaper than what you can get it here in the Highlands, because they've got to, package it up, put it on a truck, get it here. You got to pay for the difference. So if you can ever get anything while you're in Ley, it's the best. We needed some towels. We needed like a shelf for our house, and we was able to get all that stuff while we was in Ley. And then just so happens on Saturday, me and my wife, we was at breakfast, and we was just sitting there having a good time. And for some reason, the hotel we go to in Ley is Crossroads. We really like that hotel. We really like the restaurant. We really like the atmosphere. The kids really like the pool, so it's a nice place. But we're sitting there. For some reason that day, they only had one plunger for a coffee pot, and their coffee machine was broken. So the only way that you could get it is to get a big French press, and their French press, there's like a liter. I mean, it's a lot of coffee. And we're sitting there, we're drinking coffee, and another couple comes in. They ask for coffee, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, our plunger's being used. And we was like, hey, we're finished. We had one cup left, so we kind of separated it between us, gave them the pot, and then they went and washed it, made this other couple a pot of coffee. But while we were sitting there, this gentleman, he comes up that we gave the pot to, and he said, hey, what are you guys doing today? And we was like, well, we really don't have a whole lot planned. We got a little bit of shopping to do. And he tells us about this craft show that they're having at the international school. So with us, helping them out with the coffee pot, we was able to find out a really cool thing that was happening in Ley. We went to it. It was too keen to get in, so it was about 75 cents or so per person to get inside. And once you got inside, they had Billums, they had plaques, they had darts, they had everything you could think of. And I'm not talking about the darts that you throw. I'm talking like the old primitive like poison darts where they got the bird of paradise feathers and the point on the end. And it was really cool to get to see that and experience that. We was able to pick up a few things for our deputation table that we was really excited to be able to get. And you guys will be able to see those when we get back for our deputation this fall. But it was just a good time. Adriana actually got to get a coconut for the first time, where she was able to drink out of the coconut. They cut the top of them off, drop a lime down inside, and then they put straw inside. Man, it's good stuff. Very, very good. I like the coconut milk, but I hate coconut, so it works out really good because Sister Marshall hates the milk and loves the coconut. So I drink the coconut milk, and then she finishes off the rest. But this time, I was trying to break it open I forgot my pocket knife, which is very bizarre for me, for one. I always have a knife. But I forgot my knife here in Mount Hagen, so I'm here trying to break off a piece of coconut, and a piece of the shell shoots into my finger. So it's like this huge black place on my finger, and I'm like, oh no, this is bad, because you could just feel it. When something goes really deep and you just kind of know, I kind of knew. So I was like, well, I better get that out. So I pulled a piece of shell out, and it immediately starts bleeding this bright red. So I wrap it up real good and real tight, wait on it to stop, and finally was able to get it to stop and get a Band-Aid on there. So I kind of ruined her coconut. But the next day, which was Sunday, was just absolutely amazing. So I get there, and our presbyter from the Mombasa region, which is five different provinces, Pastor Umba Narua was there, and I was able to spend some time with him, and we had a great service. They had me preach. I preached on love, preached on 1 Corinthians 13, and then behind that, we had a wedding. So we married a couple, and that was great. It was my first wedding in Papua New Guinea. I'm pretty excited about that. The name of the couple, his name was Michael, her name was Rania. So we was able to get them married at the service last Sunday. After that, we actually installed all of their youth department for that church. So the Sunday school teacher, the Sunday school director, the youth director, and another Sunday school helper. We was able to pray over them and install them. And then we was able to head down to the ocean and baptize a precious soul in the priceless, matchless name of Jesus Christ. So we was back down in LA, and we was able to baptize someone else. That's always exciting. And then after that, we found out that we have an outreach there in LA that has been started for a very, very short time. And I was able to spend an extra day. We went ahead and we stayed over Monday so that I could spend some time with the pastor that's over that outreach, as well as our presbyter. And we was able to spend a couple of hours together and just talk about things and see where all of this is happening, and just kind of hang out for a little while. It was wonderful. And it come to find out, they're running about 25 souls on a Sunday. That's wonderful. I mean, that's good stuff right there. So about 25, it's a pretty new work, and we're working on some stuff there. Also, we was able to get something scheduled. We're looking at sometime in July, we're going to be going back down to LA, and we're going to actually be doing a Mombasa conference. So all of our churches in Lae, Ramu, East and West Sepik, all of the islands down there, we're going to have a conference right there at probably at 4 Mile Church, which is where I preached on Sunday. We're going to be doing that. On Monday morning, I was sitting downstairs waiting on Sister Marshall and the kids. We was going to the market to look for a few more things and was able to find some awesome stuff. Found some more stuff for our deputation table. But while I was sitting down there waiting on them, I got a phone call from our assistant superintendent and our current interim presbyter for the Shimbu District, and they had a meeting last week that went very, very well. And we are also going to be doing a conference, regional conference for Shimbu in July as well. So July, it looks like we have a conference for the Shimbu District. We have a conference for the Momassa District. And then in August, I was able to have a good meeting with three of our pastors down in Goroka. And in August, we are going to be doing a conference down in Goroka. So that's the Eastern Highlands. So that means from Shimbu all the way to the coast, we have a conference coming up over the next couple of months. That's exciting. That's a lot of untapped region there. We have a lot of churches in Shimbu because, you know, that's kind of one of the original places the ALJC was, and we've got quite a few churches there, but there's always room for growth and always room for more. But down towards the coast, we used to have 9 churches. Now we're down to 4, and we got to do something to get that built back up. Lay is the second biggest city in the country, so y'all be praying that God opens doors down that way so that we can get some more stuff going down around that area. Also in June, as I announced on our last podcast, in June, we'll be leaving here on June 15th and we'll be gone till the 29th doing a conference for Brother Satoki down there in Fiji. We're going to be doing the national conference in Fiji, and we're excited about that. Going to get some time to just unwind and hang out together. Going to be doing some more brainstorming and maybe throwing down some ideas for another book. Stay tuned for that. Hopefully, Lord willing, you know, if God gives me the green light, I'm going to go ahead and try to get another one out before we come home for deputation. That way we have some options. So be praying about that. Keep praying for us. I know y'all are, because things that are happening here is just amazing. You know, I had a phone call with a friend of mine today, and he was talking about, you know, how he's been keeping up with us. And God's just doing great things here in Papua New Guinea, and it's because of prayers and support from folks back home. You know, that's why we're growing. That's why we're thriving. This isn't a Ryan Marshall thing. This is a kingdom thing. And if we're gathered together praying in his name, you know, the sky is not the limit, because we're going to go beyond that. We're just going to keep on pressing and keep on praying. Just excited to see what God's going to do. Sorry this podcast is late, but some more exciting news. We traveled all day yesterday. We got home at about 6:30 last night, and every single marshal in this house was in bed by about 7:30 or 8 o'clock last night. We was just wiped out. And then this morning I woke up, and we went and grabbed a welder, and we've been out here working on the new church / conference center / Bible college, everything. I mean, we've got our dimensions down, and we was able to weld our first rafter today. And, you know, we're just waiting to see that come together tomorrow. We're working on rafter number 2. We're doing what's called a salt box pitch, which means that one side goes up at a pretty steep angle, and it only goes out about 20, it's about 26 or 28 feet. I can't remember exactly. And then the other side is 52. So that means it's 28 on one side, 52 on the other. So 52 at a more gradual slope. So whenever we get the first one done, I'm going to be posting some pictures of that so everybody can see that and see what's going on here. And we just can't wait to see what God has in store. And we'll keep you up to date on some upcoming events and things going on as they unfold. But right now, things are going great. Just keep praying for Ezekiel about his visa situation. That's the only hiccup we've got right now. And that's a pretty big one. So we want to make sure that God just moves in that situation and makes a way for us to get him where he's able to come back into the country when we come back from Fiji. His passport expires the day we fly out. Not his passport. His visa expires the day that we fly out. And we've got we've got about 15 days we're going to be gone. And God has got to move in that 15 days in order for him to be able to come back in the country. So we got to submit his paperwork as soon as we leave. And then just pray that it gets back to us within that 15-day time frame so that we can get back in the country without any issues there. Thank you for listening. Be sure to rate us on iTunes. Every rating helps. We had a great amount of them come in at the beginning, but they've really slacked off. So if you guys could, throw 5 stars up there. Tell us how you feel about it. Write us a review. Even if it's a bad one, go ahead and write it anyway. Any review will help. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for continued prayers and support. And we look forward to seeing you all this fall.